What is your name?
James Ola Tupac.
And where are you from?
Kupak.
How old are you, James?
77 yesterday. Oh, today is 24. Well, I'm 77 years old. Yeah.
What's the name of the story you're going to tell us?
Igabishi.
And how did you learn the story? Who told you the story first?
My father.
What's your father's name?
Akathak.
And where was he from?
Kupak. This is Igabishi. Igabishi was a heavy-set young man and a big eater. He had to have two wives to support him with fishes, berries, and many different kinds of vegetables they pick in the summer and stored away. While Igabishi was out hunting caribou upon the head of Kupak all summer, he put up the dry meat for the winter and roughed them down in the fall to his wives. But still all this food they gathered never was enough for them. Igabishi had to hunt caribou all winter, trying to replenish their supply of food on a sketch above. He is packing the good sized caribou on his back home in the evening for dinner. One caribou for dinner. He probably will eat half of it at one time. He usually would start hollering, Igabishi, Kachikbishi. That means, are you stewing meat and you brewing soup? These are the only words he would say when he approaching his home in the evening. So his wife named him Igabishi. Igabishi got nothing else in his mind besides food. He always was hungry. He was an active young man. He learned to attract the caribou holler at him in peculiar way that Eskimo call Dvark. Dvark mean, which means chasing the caribou, shouting at them cleverly with his peculiar sound and usually the caribou got so mad at him, they turn around, circling around him. Close by, Igabishi kills as many caribou as he wishes. They say sometimes he kills two caribou with one arrow. Hit him double. Nobody can bend his bow. Nobody can wear his snowshoes. They were too big, too heavy for them. But they learned to chase after caribou the same way Igabishi. Igabishi's stomach was so big, his wives had to dig hollow place for him to sleep so he can rest at night. Shortly after the caribou left the country, poor Igabishi starved. to death during the famine on Kupuk and Siliwik. People didn't store away enough food for the winter because of war. There were hardly any rabbits and ptarmigan that year. Many other people starved too.
What's the name of this story?
This story is told my grandmother.
What was she?
Patiyak.
Where was she from?
Kupuk. Kupuk and Arctic occasionally are killed by snowslides. One time Kupuk were invited to Nortak for a big feast or potlatch when the Civil War was over. They were fighting all the time, Eskimos from Arctic and Kupuk. Nobody knows the reason. Two Arctic messengers came over from Nortak to Kupuk to get anybody, whoever wished to attend the peacetime dances and potlatch. The snow was deep that winter. High mountains were dangerous, but Kupuk had to refuse Arctic invitation, so many of them went with their dog team through Kuluktuk River Pass between Kupuk and Nortak. The way Arctic messenger came over, they came where they thought would be safe enough to stay overnight. It was too late for them to reach lower mountains, so they stayed overnight. They were standing out early in the morning to go when they heard the explosion sound from the mountain above them. No chance to escape. They were covered with hundreds of feet of snow. Some of them were thrown opposite side of the narrow valley by the tremendous heavy pressure. Some loose dogs and children were thrown up in the air. They said they dug each other out of snow. At least 100 were saved, but the second slide covered half of them again. My grandmother, Kasiyak, my mother's mother, and her father, Kitnyu, were among them, covered up. Survivors dug my grandmother out after they had dug many others. Good thing they never let go of their snow shovels. My grandmother came to life again after she was unconscious for a long time. She was about 14 years old at the time. She said that she was catching up with her father, who was dead under the snow somewhere. She says she saw him waiting for her to come. He was among the dead people walking away from their dead bodies. She was going to go away with him when she came suddenly before her dirty old body. She hated to enter it, but realized that she must. So she did, and come to life again, to live some more miserable life. She says the death was beautiful, and besides, her father was waiting for her to catch up to him. The survivor found her by the tip of her mittens. They recognized her mittens stick out on the window, on the snow, sticking out in the hard snow, and dug her out. She says it was hard to dig for those who had snowshoes on their feet. Their feet stuck tight to their snowshoes. That is the reason Eskimos always have weak lacing. That is a snowshoe lacing, weak ones, on their snowshoes, so they can free themselves easily from their snowshoe if covered up with snow. Kubok didn't make it to Arctic that winter. Those who are left returned to Kubok, and one of the messengers went on home to Arctic. Other was missing. Kubok delivered the bad news of disaster to those who had lost mostly their fathers. They understand and they believe that there is no death, especially when my grandmother, Kasigak, renewed their idea of the dead. It helps them to have more courage to go on without their loved ones. They believe that the dead don't suffer anymore. They go to waiting place, especially those who were loyal to their parents, and all men might go there. That was Eskimo belief for many centuries. And they used to talk about the men at the gate in heaven who always ask, Asit Ba. That means, is there any fruit on earth? She never think that she was dead until she realized she come back and show her body. It looked dirty. She don't want to enter it. But she had to. That's the time they turn her down and up and down and pumping her with air to the mouth, try to get her breath back. Her heart was pumping once in a while. Her heart start tick, that mean pump. That she encouraged them, try to bring her back, you know. That's when she saw her body would look dirty. She don't want to enter it anymore. Besides, she was almost catch up to her dad that gone ahead of her. Isn't that funny? Maybe it isn't funny. We not yet get there. After we get there, maybe we'll find out too. We still don't know anything. We were created by God. He probably created us not to know some things. We're happier that way. Artigas attacked Siksik at fish camp. Why Arctic Eskimos becomes Kubok's bitter enemies, we really don't know the main reason. They were related and best friends. Sometimes visit each other in winter to trade and invite each other to have a big feast and have a good time, especially Noatak people. But Shadlar Indians had been Arctic enemies for many years. That can be one reason, because Kubaks and Shadlar Indians become real good friends. When Ula and his brother Killi, Eri, trading with them. Akinyaluk's uncle from Silvik. They were living at the head of Kubuk and Alatna. I guess they would know where that is. Head of Kubuk and Alatna. And their grandchildren do the same thing with Kuyukuk Indians. When they're finally in peace with them, my grandmother Telaktok brothers with same name, Ula and Killi, they get most of their supplies from Soluk, the rich man on Kubuk, to trade with Kuyukuk Indians. Soluk is last rich man on Kubuk. Hedley Ferguson's grandfather. That was how Kubukas become friendly with Kuyukuk Indians, like their ancestor did with Shadlar Indians. They make Kuyukuk Indians very good friends for us. Siksik, the hero, had captured two pretty Arctic girls and married them. They were living in a well-built smokehouse. The girls had to wear uniforms so Arctic wouldn't kill them. They got left every time when others got killed. They never go out berry picking or fishing without uniforms, for fear Arctic might kill them by mistake. They were attacked in a fish camp in the summer by Arctic warriors out in open gravel bar. Mostly women and children were in camp. Men was out sheep and Siksik buck hunting up on the head of Kubuk River. Siksik had to stay home to defend fish camp in case Arctic attacks. Sure enough, he heard footsteps on the gravel while in bed early one morning. They live in a smokehouse built out of timber, so arrows don't penetrate the large timber. Small holes all around so he can shoot through them. He called loud as he can to wake other neighbor, but the troops was on them before they got ready. They usually have a watchman out in the woods, but not that night. They don't expect any more attacks, especially fishing time. Arctic surely want to kill him. Number of the warriors were close, perhaps 40 of them. He emptied 2 arrow quivers. It wasn't quite daylight yet. One woman lived nearby, ran with some quivers full of arrows. Their husband had left home, only to die on their way to smokehouse. They were shot before they reached. When Sik-Sik saw that, he got out in open, had a real fight with Arctic. It's daylight now. He can see arrows flying. He picked them up from the air and shoot back at them with their own arrows. He still have few arrows in his quiver when Arctic start running for their life to the woods. He chased after them. He quickly bite off the flint point while running and shot the last man on his back gently. When Arctic man got his hit without flint point, he shouted loud as he can to his companion, "Sik-Sik arrow arrows," he shouted out. They all turned back and chased after him, almost to his house. Sik-Sik turned back again and killed the rest of them, except one, to let him go to tell the story, possibly to more warriors up the river. They say Sik-Sik was one of the best warriors in his day, most experienced men with bow and arrows. They say he only fight for self-defense. He was in that Koyukuk war when he was young. That's why Kupuk Eskimos choose him to train little boys to shoot arrows. Start them to throw snowballs to each other in winter time. Hard marsh in the summer. To tell the little boy learn to dodge the ball, then to bow an arrow with soft point. Tell they learn to use them. Then he pick out the boys with a good eyesight, start them to shoot each other till they learn to dodge them, arrows, even close distance. Then later he go in front of them to be their target, show them how to dodge the arrows and pick them off the air. He also teach them to go to bed early. They usually find it difficult to put boys to bed on time, especially in springtime, daylight, night and day. Muskrats come out of the lakes, and summer birds came from outside, and white fish go into river, slough, where the mothers and catching them with the net. Their father go out to the lakes, shed nets to trap ducks. Some go out with larger decoy on little ponds where the ducks land very close. They kill them with bow and arrow. When the ducks and geese were brought home, their wives and little daughters pluck them and shave feathers for pillows and for arrow fins. They say Siksik was raised by his good mother, the way she was taught to raise little boy, to be healthy and active. She gave him all the exercise, walk out with him on her back early in the morning, out to give him fresh air. About the same time, every animal are feeding. Give him a nap in the afternoon. Same time animal are napping. Put him to bed and feed him on time. Till Siksik grow to be big boy. Then he never changed. He got accustomed to that life. He was raised on fish, meat, seal oil, whale oil, and all kinds of wild vegetables. Also bear meat, probably black bear is an eatable animal, you know. They say he eat mostly fish. That's why he was active and strong. Kubuk people raised their children same way Siksik were raised. That's why Kubuks were hard to hit with the arrow.
Now, can you tell me more about him? Is he a hero? Did you hear about him from your mother?
How did you learn about Siksik? Huh? How did you learn about the man?
Oh, that what I learned about him? Mm-hmm. I just explained it. What he was, become warrior because he was taught, and then he had good race. They get up in time, eat the time to eat. He never missed a meal. And he go to bed in time. He don't fool around and forget about going to bed. That's the way Siksik was raised.
Who told you about Siksik?
Everyone that I saw, old man. Every old man know him. Because he was war leader. He helped to get the Arctic people to stop the revolution. Because they can't beat him. He tamed them down by force. He's too strong. He's tough. Too many arrows coming to him, none of them touch him. He dodged them all. He's that quick. Because he was raised right. He don't fool around. He obey his parents. That's why he's healthy. That's the way my dad tell me about him. If we do like that, we live a little longer and happier. Enjoy our life better. If we obey our parents. Siksik obeyed his parents. That's why he become hero on Kupuk River. Maybe Arctic people never heard of that. He was their enemy because he was tough.
How long ago did he live? How long ago did he live?
Let's see. You got me there. I don't know how long exactly. Perhaps 700 years, 800 years ago. You see, Ule and Arik, Portuguese Indian says they come over from McKinsey 600 years ago. So this Siksik War was before Ula family come over. It could be around that 700, 800 years ago. Siksik was alive.